Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Terrence Talks Travel, Uber Adventures. I'm your host, Terrence Epke. If you've been following my show, you know I feature a wide variety of adventures, Uber adventures, ranging from tornado tours to gorilla trekking. Well, today's show highlights another exotic destination and a unique way of travel. And I'm so excited that we're going to be talking about an itinerary called Mongolia to Moscow, a Trans-Siberian Railway Adventure. And so I'd like to welcome my guest, David Parker, who is a travel specialist with Mir Corporation. And if you're not familiar with them, they're an exceptional travel company that was established nearly 20 years ago, and they focus on Russia. And this is good news, because when you go to this part of the world, you really need a travel company that knows its stuff. And I did a show about toughest countries in the world to visit, and Russia was on that list. So, David, why don't you tell our listeners what makes Russia a tough place to get into and why Mir is the best tour operator for folks going to this part of the world?
Well, thank you, Terrence. Russia, the first thing that comes to mind when you look at the country is that it's enormous. You know, it takes up over 7 time zones. It's the largest country in the world. And just the sheer scope of the country, makes it a difficult destination. I think another thing that's difficult about visiting Russia is that the level of English spoken for our American travelers is not very high. So I think that a good guide is essential when visiting Russia to really get the most out of your visit. And, I think despite all the political things that have been going on in these past year or so, actually, for everyday tourists, though, we find that Russians are very open to American travelers. You know, whatever their opinion is about the American government. In terms of that, we have a lot of questions from our travelers. You know, are we going to be okay? Can I get a visa? And, you know, in terms of just everyday tourism, once you are in Russia, everyone's very friendly and welcoming.
Well, let me ask you, that's a good point here. You do need a visa to get into Russia. So how much time should people allow to plan for this trip?
Well, you know, just in terms of the visa, it's the processing time is about 10 business days, so about 2 weeks. But, you should apply probably, we recommend applying about 2 months before the trip starts, maybe 75 days. You can't apply too early. And then you just need to get visa support. But, if you book a trip through Mir, then we'll definitely help you with all the steps. And, the application can be a little long, but, there's nothing, it's not rocket science. You know, you fill it out online and you get visa support from our offices in St. Petersburg, Moscow, or Irkutsk, and send it in to D.C. And, I can't even think of one example where a visa was denied in the past 10 years or so.
So you will help people with this process. They're not on their own.
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Okay. Absolutely.
Now, I want to mention that Mir is rated one of the best adventure travel companies on Earth by National Geographic. So I think that's an important thing to tell people when we're trying to reassure them about going with a tour operator that specializes in travel to this area and this type of travel, because you are putting your hands in, you're putting yourself in somebody else's hands here, and it's really important that they know what they're doing. And so I just thought that was important to mention here. But let's talk Turkey now. This is a 16-day itinerary, and it includes the landscapes and cultures of Mongolia, Siberia, and Western Russia. And I know that your tour is limited to 4 to 16 travelers, and you have only 2 departure dates a year, and that's July 10th and September 4th for 2015. And so I was hoping, David, that you could tell folks what the difference is between these two trips. What's offered in July that's not in September?
Well, the main difference is that in the July departure features Mongolia's Nadam Festival. And Nadam is a Mongolian word that just means games. And it's a celebration and festivities that date back centuries. And it revolves around 3 sports: archery, horseback riding, and wrestling. And it's held in the capital of Mongolia, Ulaanbaatar, in July every year. And it's just an amazing spectacle. There's, you know, bright colors. There's a traditional opening ceremony that involves taking 9 yak tails, which represents the 9 tribes of Genghis Khan's descendants, you know, through the capital. And it's an incredible sight to see, and people travel from all over the world to see it. And then the September departure, that features more time in the Mongolian countryside, you know, where, you know, when you think of Mongolia, you don't think of a cosmopolitan city. You really, what comes to mind is, you know, endless steppes and landscape. So the September departure features more time out in the wilderness, you know, more opportunities to ride horses or, you know, just look at the beautiful Mongolian landscape. And then, after Mongolia, that's the primary difference.
Okay. Now, the first night of this trip, I think that you spend it in a gur. So can you tell everybody about this experience?
Well, you know, the Mongolians always have been and to a large extent still are nomadic people. And a gur is it's similar to a yurt. It's a round structure. It's about the size, you know, depending on the family, it could be about the size of a living room. And, you know, but it's a living room and a bedroom and a kitchen all in one. It's made out of a kind of a lattice work of wooden poles that are easily packable. You know, when the family needed to move from place to place following the grazing animals. And it's an amazing experience to sleep there because, you know, you go outside and the stars are so bright and so vivid. And, you're sleeping and living in a way that people have for centuries. And it's, when they're actually... you know, they're not luxury hotels, but they're quite comfortable. There's a stove inside that keeps you warm at night. And then in the morning, you know, you're just seeing the sunrise and the horses grazing the distance. It's an amazing experience.
Yeah, I'm thinking if you're an adventure traveler, this is something that you want to do, and what a story you'd have to share after you've done this. Okay,
yeah.
Well, let me ask you here. I've looked at the map, and it looks like there's a lot of terrain between Ulaanbaatar and Moscow. So I'm wondering if you can tell me just how many miles is this that you're covering?
Well, you know, the Trans-Siberian Railway is, of course, the longest in the world, and it covers, the entire track is about 5,750 miles, and that goes all the way to the Pacific Ocean in Vladivostok. So the portion of the rail that this tour covers is about 3,500 miles. So it's an incredible journey. You know, there's definitely, we put a few stops in cities to break up the journey. It covers an incredible amount of ground. I think probably 4 or 5 time zones. I have to look at the map again, but, you know. It's,
wow. So this rail trip is probably the best way to do this because you're not bumping around in a Jeep or spending hours in a car. You're actually on a very comfortable train. And so I would think that would be the best way to cover all this ground.
Yes. You know, it's in some ways it's like a moving hotel because a lot of time you'll be riding on train is at night. So, you know, in the daytime you'll see sights, you'll see the city of Irkutsk, you know, one of the largest in eastern Siberia, and then by night you'll be, you know, on the comfortable bed, you know, a rolling hotel.
Well, so let's talk about this. What, I think the train is the Golden Eagle.
Oh, you know, this tour is on a regularly scheduled Russian train, which I think, you know, we do have offer trips on a Golden Eagle, which is a private train car. You know, completely private, and that one is it's a more luxurious experience. But this particular Mongolia to Moscow trip is on the regular scheduled Russian train. So there's 4 berths in a cabin, and you know, you can also upgrade to just having 2 people in per cabin. And I think this is an excellent way to meet everyday Russian people because this is how they get around their, you know, enormous country. It's not as much flying, but by the train.
Oh, okay. All right. But you can do different kinds of rail trips. But this one you're talking about, you're going on the regular Russian train, but there's also other opportunities where you could do a more deluxe train trip if that was something that you were
Absolutely.
Interested in.
Yeah. This is probably our more adventurous itinerary. But
yeah. So walk us through this. You're riding the train for a couple of days before the first stop at Ulaanbaatar. Did I say that right?
Yes.
Okay, good. And go ahead and tell us, this is actually in Siberia, and what is here? What is this?
You know, Siberia was traditionally a place of exile for the Russian government, and Ulan-Ude is the capital of the Buryat Republic, which is a small, it's not an actual independent country, but it's more of a state within Russia that's the homeland of the Buryat people, who are similar to Mongolians. They're an indigenous people, and they're a Buddhist people. So Ulan-Ude is a very important Buddhist center within Russia. And in addition, this trip also goes a little bit out of the way from Ulan-Ude to a village of old believers who were, they belonged to a sect of the Russian Orthodoxy that was banned by the Russian government. So they were exiled all the way from Western Russia to, you know, almost into the heart of Asia. And, you know, this trip includes a visit to their village where you participate in a traditional wedding ritual and, you know, eat a meal with them and really get to know them and observe their traditions that have survived through persecution over, you know, several centuries. So,
well, that's incredible. Okay, so then you leave there and you go on to Lake Baikal, which is a UNESCO World Heritage Site, and I think that's one of the highlights of the trip. So do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. You know, Lake Baikal, before I had gone to Russia, I didn't really know much about it or why Russians like to talk about it with such reverence, but it's just an incredible natural wonder. It is the deepest lake in the world, and it actually contains 20% of the world's fresh water supply, and it's also one of the oldest lakes in the world. And unlike Lake Superior, it's actually getting a little bit deeper each year. And in fact, it's so large that there is a species of freshwater seal that lives in there, completely freshwater, and because it's a completely landlocked lake.
And people get to go on a boat ride, right?
Yes, yes, yes. The water and the water is incredibly clear, and there's also, it's full of fish, so it's a really living, breathing lake, and it's a very important artifact for the local people in terms of the shamanist religion. Spiritually, they really revere Lake Baikal.
Wow, that's really interesting there. And when you're done at the end of the day, you're going to stay in the village there at the lake. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. There's the trip starts in the village of Listvyanka, which is the gateway to Lake Baikal.
Okay. So this is a great cultural immersion experience here. This is just a great trip for that kind of thing. And then you're going on into Ekaterinburg.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and that, okay. That city, it was an important city in terms of the Soviet times. There's a lot of industry there, but it's also important geographically as it's traditionally the boundary between Asia to the east and Europe to the west. So, you know, there's actually an obelisk that marks the exact spot where the Asian continent ends and Europe begins.
Okay, wow. And then you're wrapping up in Moscow, and you're going to see all the highlights that are there and then conclude with the grand farewell dinner, I understand. But
yeah.
Is there anything that we should know, especially about this part of the trip, about being in Moscow?
Well, I think that, you know, despite the fact that this trip starts so far to the east, I think that a trip to Russia without visiting Moscow would just be incomplete because, you know, it's the largest city in Europe. It's over 10 million people. It's so important to Russia. So much of the Russian power, so much of the Russian wealth, and the government is all centered in Moscow. And so, you know, I lived there for a few months, and it was just—it's an amazing city. It's dazzling. It's dynamic. It's almost overwhelming. So I think that you have to spend time there. You know, you have to see Red Square, and Red Square really is as incredible as you think. You know, you hear so much about it, and you're standing in there, and you know, to your right you have Lenin's tomb, and in front of you have the beautiful St. Basil's Cathedral with the colorful onion domes. It's really a sight to see.
You know, I didn't realize that Moscow was the largest city in Europe. That's pretty incredible. But tell me here, what about the weather on this trip? What will the weather, because you always think of, you know, like Siberia and Moscow and all, you know, as being absolutely freezing and snowy and cold. And so what will these departure dates, what will the weather be like? What can people expect?
You know, as a matter of fact, Siberia in the summer can be quite hot because it's so far inland. And I've lived in Siberia both in the winter and in the summer, and it's extremely cold in the winter. You know, it could be 30 below, 20 below, but in the summer it's quite nice. It's especially in the eastern part of Siberia, it's a drier heat, and the temperatures are probably average in the 70s. In Moscow, it's a little bit more humid, and it can be up to 80, 90 degrees. But it's overall a very pleasant temperature, and you know, we specifically plan to have these departures in September and July because those are excellent times to visit both Mongolia and Russia.
So people don't need to pack their parka and their snow boots or snowsuit or whatever.
No, people are, you know, they would be surprised, but no, it's quite pleasant. So.
Wow. Okay, so I know that people, if they can book an extension onto this adventure, and that there might be some that maybe something that you might recommend that they do while they're going this far across the globe. Is there a recommendation you have as to the best extension?
You know, I would definitely recommend if there's time to visit St. Petersburg after Moscow. It's just there's a high speed train. It takes about 3 hours. It's very comfortable. And it takes you right to St. Petersburg, right to the center. And that is an incredible city. It's, you know, the second capital of Russia. It used to be the capital for centuries, and it's a very Western-leaning city. It's close to Finland. It's close to Germany, and the architecture is just absolutely stunning. The Russian Tsars, they invited the best architects from Italy, from France, and Germany, and it's built on a series of canals. So it's quite different from Moscow. You know, if Moscow is traditionally a very Russian city, St. Petersburg is just a European city, and I think if they have time, you know, even just 3 days, 5 days, there's so much to see there, and that would be it's just a short train ride from Moscow.
Well, David, I have to confess that I have been to St. Petersburg, and it is beautiful. It was cold when I was there. It was snowing when I was there.
Oh.
But it was a beautiful city and an incredible experience and all. But I didn't get to Moscow, so that's still something that I have to do. But I know that Muir will help. I want to be sure and point out to people, and correct me if I'm wrong here, but they can help and plan any of these extensions or any other arrangements you want to do. I'm assuming that you can help with air as well. Is that correct?
Oh, absolutely. Yes, we have a full-service air desk here. Our air specialist, he's a whiz at finding the best itineraries because, you know, for a lot of these trips, they're not obvious destinations, you know, flying into Ulaanbaatar, Mongolia, and leaving from Moscow or St. Petersburg. But we have a full-service air desk, and we're happy to arrange extensions to just about anywhere on Earth, especially if they're within, you know, the former Soviet Union, Russia. That's our bread and butter.
And my advice to people is don't try to do this on your own. I would say call you and just make all the arrangements through you because you know what you're doing, you know how it works, and they aren't going to probably find a better price, and they could run into some problems trying to book these things on their own. So I just want to give that caveat here when you're going to these parts of the world and all. It's just so important to make sure that you know what you're doing, or you put yourself in the hands of someone that knows what they're doing. So is there anything else, David, that you'd like to add about this trip? Or I was hoping maybe briefly mention about some of the other Mongolia trips that your company offers, because this one doesn't go into the Gobi Desert, but some of the other ones do, right?
Right, right. We have a trip called Mongolian Explorer, the Gobi and Beyond, and that one focuses just on Mongolia. And it spends time, of course, in Ulaanbaatar. You do see the Nadam Festival as well. It's in July. But in addition to that, you also go to the south to the beautiful Gobi Desert where you have a chance to ride camels and, you know, see the fantastic dinosaur digging sites that are famous. And then also it goes to the north of the country to this alpine lake Hovsgol, which is very similar to Siberia. So, you know, you don't actually have to go all the way to Siberia to enter Russia to get the visa to see the Siberian taiga, the Siberian forests. We also have a very unique trip. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
Okay. We have another trip called Mongolia and Tibet, Steps to the Roof of the World. And because of these two cultures are Buddhist, ancient, and nomadic, we thought it would be fun to link them together. And it's kind of an unorthodox itinerary where you start in Beijing and fly to Tibet and then fly up to Ulaanbaatar. But I think that's also an incredible way to see these two Buddhist cultures, you know, separated by hundreds of miles, if not thousands of miles.
Well, I know what you do really depends on the individual traveler, what they're most interested in. For me, I thought this was really great because of the rail experience, the train trip part of it and all. But what is your favorite one of these trips to this part of the world?
You know, honestly, I think that the Mongolia to Moscow, I think that riding a train is just an incredible way to see just how enormous Russia is, and I think it's an incredible way to meet everyday Russian people, and I think that's what a lot of people are looking for when they go on a trip to some places. You know, if you're going all the way out to Russia, to really make personal connections, and I think that the train is the best way to do this. And then one more thing I like to point out is that this trip, you know, it's a maximum of 16 people, and every trip has a tour manager, which is so important because, you know, you can be riding the train and not speak any Russian, but the tour manager speaks fluent Russian and knows the ins and outs of the Russian rail system and Mongolian, you know, how to get around in Mongolia, so they can really help make these personal connections and help you with any requests that you have, you know, whether it's even just how to work the sink in the train bathroom to, you know, getting nice fresh tea served to your compartment, you know. They can help with all of those requests.
Well, in my mind, there's no doubt about it. This is definitely an Uber adventure. Participants are getting to see a remote part of the world that most folks are never going to get to. Some places they probably couldn't even point out on the map. And they do it in such a unique way. I love the idea of covering all this terrain on a train. And I love all the things that you offer, staying in a gur, going into the local villages, you know, the interaction with the local people, because that is the point of travel, is to experience different cultures and different ways of life, different people, different places. So I think this definitely delivers on that. Now, for more on this itinerary, or some of the other trips that David mentioned to Mongolia and Tibet and so forth, or any of the other trips that are offered by Mura Corporation, you can check out their website, which is www.mircorp.com. And you will find a link to Mura on my site, as well as hundreds of free travel reports and resources. You can also find more episodes of this show, or you can subscribe to my blog, and that's on www.terrencetalkstravel.com. And so I think we're just about out of time, so that's going to be it for this show. But before we go, I just want to thank David again for sharing all this great, great, great information here. And remember, I'll be back soon with another episode of Terrence Talks Travel, Uber Adventures. So stay tuned.